Good evening. This is Saturday evening, and I'm making this talk a few hours early. This is the talk on the nature of error. And we are continuing this study with a book by Joel S. Goldsmith, which is called The Early Years, 1932 to 1946 letters. These are letters he sent to students or friends, since he really didn't have a student body yet. And so we're on chapter 6, Nature of Error. And it begins with, since it is true, now remember, he had his beginnings in Christian Science. Since it is true, as Christian Science reveals, that all error is mesmerism or hypnotism, it must be clear that the effects of error are not physical conditions, but are mental pictures or illusion. No hypnotist ever produced an actual physical condition by hypnotism. At worst, he has produced a mental image in thought, a distorted picture. The universal mesmerism, likewise, produces only a mental image in thought, a distortion, a dream, appearing in mental image forms called sin, disease, death. Sin, disease, and death are not, then, physical conditions to be healed or corrected, but are mere images in thought. And when recognized thus as the product of mesmerism, disappear from thought. And to our sense, this disappearance is called healing. Actually, no sin or disease has been healed or removed, since none was ever there. The recognition that the so-called condition was but the mental illusion or thought form caused by mesmerism or universal hypnotism is the dispeller of the dream. All right, so point number one here is that there is no physical condition. It's a mental picture. This disease that your friend has asked help from you, this is not a physical condition. You have nothing to heal. The work, strangely enough, of a spiritual healer is not healing. The work of a spiritual healer is to see through the mental image. And, he says, what dispels it is the recognition that it's a mental image. And not a thing, and not a condition, and not a person. Inasmuch as the human form as we behold it is not the permanent, perfect form of spirit, it too must be understood as the product of hypnotism. Now he just snuck that in there. Your human form is the product of hypnotism. Her human form, his human form, is the product of hypnotism. Therefore, his human form is a mental image. We're not dealing with human forms. We're dealing with mental images, concepts. So that even when enjoying what is known as physical health, we understand that it is not spiritual reality. When thus understood, we are able to rise above both the sense of health and the sense of disease to the apprehension of the divine idea of spiritual harmony, a harmony which never fluctuates and is never dependent on so-called material laws or conditions. The phenomenal universe, as we behold it through the five physical senses, is not the reality of things, but is the finite or human concept. We are not engaged in the work of doctoring this concept of body, or improving this limited concept of the world. Our work is in rising above the concept to the realization of reality. We are not merely changing a belief of illness into a belief of health, or a belief of poverty into a belief of wealth. Our work lies in revealing the man of God's creating, the real spiritual man, including the spiritual universe. You see, we sit down with a claim and we recognize this is that mental image Joel was talking about. It's not a person. It's not a condition. It's not a thing. And I don't have to work on it. I cannot meet a problem on the level of person, condition, or thing. Well then, how do I meet it? Once I recognize it's a mental image, I should know that nothing is to be done about it. I should be able to relax. It's a mental image, as he said in the other chapter. So what? Now I can be still. Father, reveal thyself. Reveal thy universe. Reveal thy Son. Reveal Christ. And stop. And listen. And wait. Peace. Be still. And in that peace, which passes all understanding, there's an inner experience. Joel says that God is on the field. I feel an inner movement. And I know who it is. And I know that God is revealing itself. Maybe it says, I am here. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Maybe it says nothing, but there's a feeling of peace which flows through my being. Maybe there's a brand new realization about a scripture I've read thousands of times, but never saw quite this way. We must be watchful at all times that we do not permit our attention to become so attached to the human seeing, either horrified at its errors, and that would be easy to do if you turn on the news and you're watching the latest war between Hamas and Israel, you could be horrified and attached to that. Either horrified at its errors or fascinated with its seeming good. I live in a place where the leaves are changing, and they're beautiful, just beautiful. But I could be attached to that seeming good. So we must be watchful that we do not become so attached to the human scene, either horrified at its errors or fascinated with its seeming good, that the mesmerism holds us in the changing beliefs of good and evil, health and disease, poverty and wealth, and ultimately in life and death. As we learn to live in spiritual consciousness, now that's the consciousness that descends upon you or ascends in you when you're in meditation, when you're in a listening attitude. We learn to live in spiritual consciousness and keep thought above the things of earth. This spiritualization of thought enables us in some degree to behold reality in which we find unchanging harmony, beauty, and peace. Now, the unchanging harmony, beauty, and peace is spiritually discerned when in your meditation, in your prayer, when you have stopped, when you are still, when you are standing still, something flows into you. I call it spirit. And with spirit comes spiritual discernment, and you're able to see through any mental image to an unchanging, harmonious, beautiful, and peaceful existence. All metaphysicians will be able to heal and to meet the problems of human existence for themselves and others when they have learned, in addition to the truth about God and His universe, the fundamental nature of that which is termed error, sin, disease, lack, and death. It is clear that God is mind, capital M mind. Joel said he would have liked to gone back and change that to consciousness. So we'll do that for him. It is clear that God is consciousness, principle, soul, spirit, and that man is the manifestation or expression of all that God is. You know, then, that as like begets light, like, so God's spirit can manifest only as spiritual being, that God life can express only life, that God consciousness is evident only as intelligent being, that God principle is the divine law of harmony to its universe. The metaphysician knows that all-inclusiveness of love, enfolding and protecting the offspring of God, love. So if you are the offspring of God, you are love. And that spirit you feel in your meditation is maintaining and sustaining you, love. When the realization of this truth is sufficiently clear, that which we term healing inevitably follows. All right, so what truth? He just said realization of this truth, if it is sufficiently clear, healing follows. What truth? God, consciousness, principle, soul, spirit, is the manifestation or expression of man. You are the expression of God, mind, principle, soul, spirit, love. And when you work with that principle and work with it and work with it, then healing inevitably follows. However, more understanding is needed when so-called error does not readily yield. Now, I know that this applies to all of us, because I see someone asking for help, and everybody responds with, "I am with you." And yet, next week, they're asking again. And I include myself in this. It is not readily yielding. Or when discordant conditions seem more tenacious, severe, or serious, we must understand the nature and character of error. All of us. Merely to deny error or declare sin and disease nothingness does very little toward solving the problem, unless one knows the nothingness of error and why it is nothing, and can also account for the appearance of this nothingness in forms of sin and disease. Actually, to understand the nothingness of error, we must return to our basic statement. All is infinite consciousness and its infinite manifestation. Accepting this statement as truth, which has been proven in thousands of healings, it necessarily follows that as there cannot be more than all, that which is appearing to us as error must be illusion, mirage, nothingness, hypnotism. Certain it is that in a God-made, God-governed universe, there can be no error. Is it not clear that man and the universe are spiritual, infinite, eternal, harmonious? And yet we see error right where that God, spiritual, infinite, eternal, harmonious, is. And yet there appears to be something present which claims to be imperfection, limitation, sin, or sickness. What is it? We have named it. It is appearance, not a condition. Try this. When you are faced with a discordant belief, instead of trying to remove, rise above, or overcome error, or to heal disease, stand still and remember that that which appears as error is only appearance, only illusion. Watch the result of this calm, clear trust in the absolute allness of God, good. You will then know that the nothingness is only the false sense of substance, false sense of reality, which you have been entertaining. Study the statement. Jesus beheld the perfect man who appeared to him where sinning mortal man appears to mortals. In this perfect man, the Savior saw God's own likeness, and this correct view of man healed the sick. So, what is our work? To know that error is an appearance, and to stop trying to fix it. And then as we stand still, we are to behold the perfect man, the complete manifestation of God, God's own likeness. you will find that the false appearance of error did not fool the master. He did not deny it or call it nothingness. But he saw the perfect man. He saw the complete manifestation and even thanked God for his omnipresence as life, where others saw death. This true seeing raised the so-called dead. We too must see that as there is no matter, and there's another one he's sneaking through, there is no matter. All must be spirit. As there is no death, all must be life. As there is no sin, all must be pure. As there is no disease, all must be health and harmony. Then healing will inevitably follow. And yet not really healing, but the revelation of true being with all its perfection, eternality, and immortality. So, again, what are we doing? We are looking through the appearance to the underlying real, the reality, God manifesting itself. And sometimes you can't do that. You sit down to meditate and you can't seem to do it. What then? You practice. You're not going to get this overnight. This is going to take weeks, months, maybe years. But you practice. You have to make a start somewhere. Okay, I see the appearance. It looks like a condition. It looks like a person. It looks like a thing. It looks like a war. But that's not what is manifest. That's the mental belief. That's the human concept floating around. What is really manifest? I can't see it. Father, reveal thy manifestation. I will listen. I will be receptive. I will watch. I will wait. I will bear witness to God in action. And yes, there is a little feeling of the presence. And so what is the manifestation? The presence. The presence is here, right where the eyes show me a war. Is the presence of God living, the living God. As there is no evil, we must stop our resistance. Remember last week? We have to stop resisting. Don't put up a mental wall. We must stop our resistance to any discord or inharmony of human existence that might confront us. As we are able to cease our resistance to these discords, they will disappear, and we are only able to do this in proportion to our realization of the spiritual nature of the universe. So, you can't stop your resistance to the war. You can't stop your resistance to disease. You can't stop your resistance to whatever claim is presenting itself until you've had a realization of the spiritual nature of the universe. And so in your meditation, rather than resist, rather than try to heal or avoid or deny or affirm, see if you can't find that inner peace, and then ask God to reveal itself. Father, reveal thyself, and stand still. If you practice, the moment will come when God really will reveal itself. Then you'll know this is a spiritual universe. Joel was right. And you'll make a little change within yourself. You'll no longer be resisting. You'll be waiting for that spiritual universe to appear. First in your meditation and then with eyes open. The heavens and earth to one consciousness, that consciousness which God bestows, are spiritual, while to another, the unillumined human mind, the vision is material. Since this is true, it is evident that neither heaven nor earth can contain error of any nature, and that therefore this unillumined human mind is seeing error in the very place where God shines through. It's seeing discord where harmony is. It's seeing hate where love abounds, and fear where confidence really is. The work we have embarked on is the realization that we are infinite individual spiritual consciousness, embodying within ourselves all good. This is the thread that runs through every message of truth, and until this realization comes, it must be our purpose and aim. So, I'll read it again. This should be your purpose and aim. I am infinite individual spiritual consciousness, embodying within myself all good. And that's what must be meditated on. You are already that place in consciousness through which infinity is pouring. Your so-called humanhood must be still so as to be a clear transparency through which your infinite individual self may appear, express, and reveal itself. Your only limitation is personalizing good, instead of seeing your good as the good of your infinite spiritual self. Yes, you don't want to personalize it. We cannot too often go over the ground which reminds us that error does not exist as a physical condition, but as an appearance or mental argument which may be refuted with the truth. Okay. Error does not exist as a physical condition. So, on the one hand, we are infinite individual spiritual consciousness, embodying within ourselves all good. And on the other hand, error does not exist as a physical condition, but is an appearance, a mental argument. This truth corrects the argument and dispels the illusion or false appearance. Never think of any condition as a physical condition which has to be changed or improved. That which appears as a physical condition is never anything but a mental argument, and the truth corrects it. Appearances may testify to error, but the reverse of error is true. truth, now remember what truth is. Truth, capital T truth, is not that which you entertain in your mind. It's not a mental concept. It's not an intellectual idea. Truth is that which is imparted to you from within, from the Father within. Truth is imparted, and in the silence you receive it. So now, with that in mind, he says, truth is not an intellectual process, but a divine revelation. When one has experienced it, there are no longer any doubts. Jesus sought truth for most of his 30 years, and then, through revelation, he found that the truth is the Father within, and he progressed until he came to that place in consciousness that enabled him to know I am the truth. In other words, that which I am seeking, I am, or I am that I am. Men have sought happiness, bluebirds, the Holy Grail, but all the time they were seeking truth, that which is imparted. They sought all over the world, and returning, found it in their own yard, their own consciousness. That is where you are ultimately going to find truth, in your own consciousness. In fact, you will find that this consciousness is truth. And so that which is imparted within, from within you, is consciousness or truth. We owe it to ourselves to devote thought, time, and energy to the acquisition of truth. Now, truth is not what you're reading in this book. Truth is not what Joel talks about on a tape. Truth is that which is imparted to you from within, from consciousness, from God, from the Father within. The word imparted to you is the only truth there is, and the only truth there will ever be. And so we owe it to ourselves to devote thought, time, and energy to the acquisition of that truth. The truth which makes us free from the beliefs of mortal existence. It's not what you think or what you pray or what you say or what you read in a book or hear in a talk. It's that which is imparted. That's the truth which makes you free from mortal existence. When we permit our time and money and thought to be taken from this objective, we cheat ourselves. Why is this true? Because, in reality, you are the expression of the fullness and allness of God. Human teaching has hidden this fact for many generations and has led us to believe that we are mortals, with only age and death as ultimates of life, as the logical end to our existence. Therefore, any teaching or religion which reveals the truth of our immortality and sonship with God should be pursued until it yields its full fruitage of health, harmony, joy, peace, and dominion. Now, Joel says that the infinite way takes us through the years of labor, and ultimately, we reach the point of Sabbath. We're going to read about that later in these talks. And Sabbath is a resting arresting from knowing the truth to receiving the truth within. And the infinite way brings us to that resting place. So, let's see, where was I here? Fruitage will be multiplied only in proportion as you learn that you are God being, that you embody your good within your consciousness. Good cannot come to you. It is already where you are. Now, it's not enough to say, I am God being, I am God being, I am God being. It's pretty much useless to do that. Oh, you may get yourself a little bit of peace, but that's not the goal. The goal is to be so still, so silent, so receptive that you hear God say it to you. This is my beloved Son, in whom I, God, am well pleased. And it may come in a different form. What I heard the other day is, ye are the temple of God living. See, it's always been said, and I've always read, ye are the temple of the living God. This was different. It was imparted to me. Ye are the temple of God living. And I don't share those too often. Good cannot come to you. It is already where you are. Good does not even come from God to man, because man is the very manifestation of God or good. Only in the degree that we make this truth a part of our consciousness can we prove the infinity, the omnipresence of good. And how do you make it a part of your consciousness? You work with the principle. At first you remind yourself, why am I struggling? Good is already a part of my consciousness. That which I am seeking, I am. Okay, let me stop that struggle. Let me be still. Father, reveal the truth. And then, if you attain the silence, you hear the still small voice, or you feel it, and it imparts to you. And it may say, you are the very manifestation of God. Ye are the temple of God living. And then you have made it a part of your consciousness because it was imparted from consciousness to you. Man is not something apart from God. And good is not something which man attains, because good is a constituted part of man. I and my Father, my good, are one. This should be constantly kept in consciousness until it becomes embodied or demonstrated or outpictured. What should be? I and my Father, my good, are one. This should be constantly kept in consciousness. I don't know how he can make it any plainer. All error will yield to truth, as there is no material law to bind the child of God or to limit his health. All mortal or material beliefs are illusions. They are never of man. Man is the expression of only that which is. Mortal mind is not man. There's another one right there. Mortal mind, human mind, is not man. It has no outlet, channel, mode, or means of expression. Sometimes this work must be diligently continued, but often the yielding comes quickly. The constant and continuous effort of sincerely holding in consciousness the truth of being will compel any and every form of error to lose its hold. Why is this true? Because actually there is no error. There's another one. Well, I only have to turn on my news to see people bombing each other, see hostages being taken, see people being blown up in their beds. Here's a statement by Joel Goldsmith, who healed thousands and thousands of people. There is no error. It doesn't mean you don't see error. It means there's no physical condition. Oh, yes, you say, but if I'm standing under one of those bombs, I guarantee you there will be a physical condition. Really? Will there? If you stand there in this consciousness, will there? If you're seeing God in that place where the bomb is falling from the sky, will there be a physical condition? Or will God be there? I submit to you that God will be there where God is realized. And either the bomb will be a dud, or somehow or another the blast will be focused in a different direction. It shall not come nigh thy dwelling place, if thy dwelling place is in the consciousness, the conscious awareness of God within. Actually, there is no error, and this truth does reveal itself to the receptive thought. See, it reveals itself if you're receptive from within. In a unique way that's appropriate for you. Error is always a false appearance. False appearance about the truth. I and my Father are one, not two. Therefore, within that oneness lies your perfection, your immortality, the harmony of your mind, body, and being. I and my Father are one, and this oneness includes your infinite good, your perpetual life, and peace, and joy. I and my Father are one. And in this oneness is nothing that defileth or maketh a lie. I and my Father are one, inseparable, indivisible, here and now, as in heaven, so on earth. But this law of God, this oneness of God and man, is supreme. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. When we seek truth earnestly, the way opens. Both time and money come to enable us to study truth. The same spirit that brings about increase in supply will bring about freedom from error of any kind, any sort. Do not make belief real by thinking about it, condemning yourself or anyone else. Do not fight it as though it were a reality. Remember, it is illusion or myth or belief. It is not your belief, but a universal human thought. Do not struggle with it. Do not fight it. Sit down quietly and turn your thought to divine love. Realize that the spirit of divine love is now meeting every human need. Now, to realize a truth means to make it real. And you can't do that. All that you can do and all that I can do is sit still. Be still and know. And in this receptive attitude of listening, when God utters its voice, you hear it. That is realization. That makes it real, because it manifests. That which is imparted and you receive is demonstrated. It's manifested. And that's realization, making it real. Whenever you have a few moments to be by yourself, turn thought to Christ, the divine ideal, and feel its nearness. Do not think of error, of sin, of sickness, or discord of any kind. Just fill your thought with the presence of God, and this will dispel the error. Yes, he uttered his voice, the earth melteth. The reason that a claim may sometimes seem worse when you work on it is because you work on it as though it were something. Something that must be overcome or destroyed. But error is not a thing or a condition, merely a belief. It is evident that treating it as though it were something is making a reality out of nothing. At all times, remember, you are spirit. Now, there's another heavy-duty line right there. Over here, he said, there is no matter. And over here, he says, at all times, remember that you are spirit, life eternal. You do not need healing. Man is the expression of God's being, and is harmonious and whole. On the other hand, error claims to either be man or to use him as a channel for its expression. But nevertheless, it is neither person, place, nor thing. Error is not entity nor identity. It has no outlet, no channel, no victim, target, law, no cause or effect. There is one good reason why we should not fear any physical evidence of disease or discord, and that is found in the assurance God created man in his own image, and therefore man is spiritual. That which calls itself matter, material body or physical condition, has no existence. If you're seeing matter, a physical body or a physical condition, what you're seeing has no physical existence. It has only existence as a thought, as an image, as a concept, as an idea. And it's not your thought. It was here before you came, and it'll be here after you leave. It's a universal concept. And it presents itself to your mind, and you either say, I know thee, who thou art. Get thee behind me. Only Christ is here. And see Christ. Or you say, oh my God, look at that, that's horrible. How could they? What's wrong with those people? Or you say, isn't that a beautiful house? I wish I had that house. That which calls itself matter, a material body or physical condition, has no existence, except as mental argument or false appearance. There are no physical organs or physical functions in spirit. That which appears as materiality is but the human concept of that which is spiritual and eternally good. So, as I've said in these talks for 12 years or 15 years, however long it is, you're looking at the perfect spiritual creation, but seeing war, disease, death, lack, limitation. Error claims to present itself as person, as physical condition, but it is never anything other than mental argument, appearing to human thought as matter or material conditions. Being only a mental argument, it is subject to knowing the truth. The condition is not changed. The concept of the condition is changed or corrected, and then that appears which always was. It's like a mist before your eyes. And by recognizing it's just a mist, and not battling, not affirming, not denying, but resting, that's just a mist. Mist. It's not a physical condition, it's not a person, a place, or a thing. Now, Father, this is your part of the meditation. Reveal what is really here. Reveal the truth. Reveal thy manifestation. And stand still. There really is a God that will respond, and it will impart its truth, and the truth it imparts becomes real. It becomes your reality, and then that appears which always was. Christ, or the spiritual idea, appeared to human consciousness as the man Jesus. And so today the Christ appears to human thought as you and me. But always it is the imperishable, indestructible Christ, the divine Son, perfect being. The error of human belief, whether individual or collective, which claims to underlie any manifestation of disease, has not the power of truth. It is therefore not causative and cannot produce an effect such as sin, disease, lack, limitation. The error of human belief cannot produce an effect. Behind every manifestation of disease or discord, there is the erroneous mental concept claiming to operate in human consciousness as law, or with the power or authority of law. It is of utmost importance that we realize that these erroneous mental states have not their origin in consciousness. They have no principle, and they are therefore causeless and without effect. Let us always be alert to the nature of error. If we are not, we will be fooled by it, and we will find ourselves accepting as real that which is illusion, mirage, suggestion, hypnotism. Remember, it is never a condition, never a person, place, or thing, but always illusion. Now, that was in the years before he wrote or dictated or said his first book called The Infinite Way. And I have found, by going back and looking at it now that I have a deeper understanding of things, The Infinite Way was probably his deepest book ever. As he said in the Kailua Study Series, he said things in that book in one line or one paragraph, which later became a 20 or 30,000 word book. But I have not found anything deeper than such chapters as Our Real Existence, Putting on Immortality, The New Horizon, and a few others. Oh, I know there's books like Thunder of Silence and Beyond Words and Thoughts and Living Between Two Worlds, but it's all right there in the very first book. And it must be taken out a sentence, a paragraph at a time, and practiced. Here are the principles we practice. This is the mystical principles group, and we practice mystical principles. What's a mystical principle? Well, he gave us several. You tell somebody on the street, there's no such thing as matter. See if that's not a mystical way of looking at things. You tell them, oh, you know what? God is spirit. And this is a spiritual universe. Therefore, you are spirit. See what kind of a response you get. No, I'm just kidding. Don't go out there and tell this to the average Joe or Jane. But you see what I'm getting at. These are spiritual, mystical principles. And we understand them because we've come up through the principles to a place where we can comprehend it. I say to you again, ye are the temple of God living. And you understand that. And you can remember that. You can practice that. And you can bear witness to God living. I live, yet not I. God is living. All right, so I look, I open my eyes, I see we're at 59 minutes and 25 seconds. So it looks like we're done for this week. I want to thank you for bringing this talk out. I wasn't sure there was enough, but there was plenty. Go back. Underline the principles. Underline the things where I say, oh, there's another sentence. Oh, there's another one. There's another principle. And then practice them. put them into practice, first in your meditation and then while driving or walking around, doing your housework or painting the house, whatever you're doing, taking a walk. Okay. Thank you. Bless you. And my love for all of you. Good night.